Press control to crouch.
The Crouch Peak Podcast.
Listeners, welcome back to the Crouch Peak Podcast. It has been some time, but we are here. I have not abandoned you, and thank you for not leaving me. So if you don't remember, it's me, Lucas, at Dust 2. I know it's been some time, but I am here with my friend Taylor. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yo, you probably know me as IL Rascal, or you know me as Taylor Hayes FPS on Twitter. I got into CS. You might know me as I was the coach of Detonate. If you don't know me for that, you might know me as the analyst from Rise Esports Club and Team Veloz. So a lot of the things that I've done in the scene for the more or less has been in ACS at an advanced level or entry premier.
Well, all right. Thank you for that, you know, very expansive intro. If you didn't tell, he's been in the trenches of NACS for at least a healthy amount of time now. So we appreciate the longevity and, you know, just anybody who gets involved in the lower scenes, I always appreciate that. So especially just coaching, because it's such, even at the upper echelons, it's not always like the most rewarding job. So I can always appreciate, you know, people getting involved even at the lower levels.
It wouldn't be the Crouch Peakers podcast if you didn't get some of the lower stuff from time to time.
Yeah, that's absolutely, absolutely.
Staying on brand.
Yeah, absolutely. So for anybody who's kind of not picking up with what we're talking about with having an advanced coach here on the podcast today, that's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about the advanced ongoing season. Actually, we're still in the thick of season 41. I know that ECL is done and over with, but we still have advanced going. And now with Timberman and NF Northern Forces just wrapping up, actually, we're recording this right after the results of that game. Timberman actually panned out a pretty, I don't want to say easy 2-0 victory. I definitely don't want to undermine the pushback that Northern Forces offered. But, you know, Inferno, not necessarily as close as Mirage. So kind of walk me through those games, if you don't mind.
Honestly, what I was really impressed by Timberman, and I didn't really understand how to put it until we just watched that game together, because we were watching the game before this podcast went live. The thing that I think Timberman does better than Northern Forces and than most teams in advance is they're a lot faster. And what I mean by that is the sort of a round of CS is sort of a closed circuit, so to speak. You only have so much time to do so many things, and I think the way Timberman gathers information and then takes fights based on that information, they're just always one step or two steps ahead of the people that they play. And that offsets some of, I wouldn't say the aim issues, but I don't think they have a better aim than One Tap's players, for example. But I do think that if they played One Tap in a BO5, they win, sort of thing. I think they just have better consistency, and I think their ability to make decisions faster than a lot of their peers, especially in the league, really helps them out.
Yeah, that's a pretty bold statement, and honestly, I hope that that comes to fruition, at least seeing Timberman versus One Tap. I know a few things would have to go kind of favorably for us for that simulation to, I guess, work out in our favor, but
We'd have to live in the wild timeline for sure.
Yeah, right, exactly, just because of how the bracket's kind of aligning. But when looking at Timberman's lineup, when looking across the five talent, who kind of pops out to you as far as X Factor is concerned?
Well, it's hard to talk about that really without talking about the team element again. I'd say that it's not just the players themselves in an individual sense, but what they do in the team, right? So as sort of a rifle duo that makes a lot of space, I think Snav and Kalyx really do a lot for this roster, and I think it gives Dare a lot of horizontal movement. He can sort of go anywhere he wants with his op and take whatever fights he needs, and he's always been pretty consistent as a player. So between those two separate factors, I wouldn't say it's Kalyx or that it's Snav separately, but I'd say together they make a lot of space and make a lot of high impact frags. It's if it's not one, it's the other usually, and then Dare usually holds down the weak side of whatever they have going on. And but again, like as a team, that speed element is what puts them in this top three conversation. One Tap has a better firepower conversation to be had. Davenport definitely has, for my opinion, a much more explosive opera, so this their ability to have these three things at the same time gives them a much higher floor.
Okay. I like that. That's not a term that's commonly used, I feel like. in CS, like the floor and ceiling kind of concept. It's something I always appreciate, like as an American sports fan.
Yeah, put it this way, I think one tap has a higher ceiling than this team. Like, I'd pin one tap to win a BO3, but I'd pin Timberman to win a BO5. Right. I just think that the floor of this team is a lot higher, and they have a lot more consistency because of it, because one of these three things is going to work, usually two of them.
Okay. So you mentioned Timberman and one tap in kind of a BO5, BO3 setting, but you didn't mention Davenport. So kind of bridging into the next topic at hand, which is the upper bracket match between Davenport and one tap, just kind of picking your brain as far as where you think that's going to go. It's kind of sounds like you're kind of aligning more towards one tap. Is that correct?
Well, it's just because of the strengths of both teams and how they align with each other. They kind of mirror each other in terms of their strengths. Davenport has Kojo, One Tap has Voltage right now. Davenport fixed a lot of their defense issues once they added Spec, because Kojo's T-side openings and everything are very good. But in terms of defense consistency, he can't be everywhere at once, so people were just walking around them as a team. So having Spec added to their roster adds a lot more solid... a much more solid foundation, I'd say, to their defense. I don't think, though, that they can do more with those riflers than One Tap can. And I don't think Kojo is good enough to completely eclipse Voltage. Okay. So that's the thing, too, is, like, I don't think that their advantages offset each other well enough for Davenport to just overcome One Tap without any sort of pushback. It'll take a lot of... they'd have to do something special because of all the team things that they built structurally throughout the season, not because of the players that they have, because they're just going against the wrong team for it.
Okay, so it sounds like you'd be leaning pretty favorably towards One Tap then.
I'd say so, yes, unless their map pool really surprises me and there's something that I miss looking between the two teams. They both seem to have a really solid 6-map pool, honestly. I think they about similar. I should have checked their vetoes better, though, but I mean, vetoes aside, because I didn't keep track of those, right. I think they have pretty similar map pools.
Okay. All right. So that kind of settles that. We got Davenport kind of biting the bullet, taking an L to One Tap in this regard, which would, of course, move them down to the lower bracket. So on the prospects of Davenport versus Timberman, who do you have there?
Ooh, that's a good question, because a lot of what made Davenport better this season than in prior seasons, I think reading that information piece and having a better set of team protocols and a better sense of team play with each other has made this team a lot better. But I do have an issue firepower-wise. It could be offset. I think Kojo's a lot more aggressive and can get more openings than, say... Darewood. He doesn't go very nearly as hard for those entries as Kojo does on T side. I think Kojo has the highest T side openings with the op this season in advance. But as a drawback to that, again, it depends. This game is not just a game of individual play. You only have to be you can be two styles of teams. Let's say you can be a team that's full of individual players that are only a combination of their parts. It's just addition. Or you can have a team that sort of does something greater than the sum of its parts. And I think Davenport relies a lot on how good individual parts of certain players will be, such as Kojo, such as Spec. And I don't think they're going to be as adaptable versus a, well, not even just this roster. I suppose this roster and One Tap, isn't it, huh? But I wouldn't put him at a third spot. I think he can fight both. That's the thing, though. I don't think between, like, Korn, Bebo, and Pug that as a trio of riflers, it really just leaves Spec and Kojo on opposite sides of the map. So it's harder to find win conditions for them, I'd say, but they're still a really good team. They could absolutely win it, but it would take, I think, One Tap not doing the things that they've been doing and sort of perennially known for throughout this season. And I just don't think that's going to be a situation that they run under.
Okay, so...
it would take a lot of prep, let's say. Like, Koi would have to do a lot of legwork, I think.
And this is against Timberman as well?
I'd say if it went against Timberman or One Tap. The problem is like you're at sort of the top three conversation for this type of thing. So at this point it's hard not to you've sort of made it to the point in the conversation where there's only good teams to go up against.
Right.
Like right now, you know, and you're not really, do they make a relegation spot? That's a lot easier to say than do they win this and move on to go forth and win advance. Like that's going to be a bit more difficult between the two teams left to contend with, I think. Like these are the only two teams in advance that could reliably be better than Davenport. So I don't think it's a knock on Davenport.
Okay. Yeah.
But I mean, it's because who would you put out of if you had Kojo and Voltage going at it,
right?
And then you had Spec taking on, let's pick another rifler, Frankie or Saturn or Exceed or Infinite.
Right.
Who else is keeping up with that out of Bebo, Pug, and Korn?
Right.
Like, it's just hard. It's really difficult.
So it sounds like you comfortably have one tap taken that first place seating, and then that direct invite to ECL Season 42. Is that right?
I think if there's a team that would do it, yes. I kind of hope they don't, because I sort of want, we haven't gotten to it yet, but I sort of want the cycle of past high premier players or past higher pro seed players taking first place in advance. I sort of want that trend to go away. So if I want someone to win, I definitely want Davenport to win. But if you're asking if I think they'll win, I definitely think one tap has more advantages.
Okay, right. And yeah, that's an interesting little connection that you've made. The advanced teams as of three seasons past, all having like former tier one or at least, you know, higher tiered competition or talent on their teams, with Mythic,
right,
and MIBR.
Yep. Yeah, because that's something that we talked about before coming onto this, yep, is advanced playoffs up until now. If we want to talk about seasons, this is the first season out of the past four, I'd say, that didn't have a clear former tier one pro-led team to be making and winning in a advanced. Season 38, you had Godsent. They made that run back with Taco, two-time major winner. MIBR came back with all the full structure that they had and had definitely a lot more experience and a lot more, I'd say, not lands necessarily, but more structure in the leagues and things that they did play outside of NA Advanced. Definitely had a lot more structure, definitely had a lot more opportunity, definitely had a very high skill ceiling individually from a very high skill ceiling region to begin with. I think Brazil doesn't get enough credit for the talent it does have because it's like perennially underreported. But and then we had Team Mythic with Freakazoid and Cooper, and Cooper was a decent player in his own right as well. Hates on that roster, former censored player. So out of all of these teams, the only team that could really come in and keep this trend going would be One Tap. You have Saturn. He was a former player for Rise Esports Club, and then later went on to play with Strife under Stamina. Rip the boy. Hope he finds a good team. Exceed came from, what was he on? Was he on Triumph, and what else was he on? Voltage.
The Quest.
There you go, yes. Voltage coming from, what roster
Chaos
was he on when he was Steel? Right, it was Chaos then. I was thinking Ghost,
Chaos,
was Wardell.
Both of them.
Yep.
Well, Chaos was Steel, but
Infinite in his history. Frankie's been a pretty decent fragger on all the premier
rosters.
Yeah,
I mean, One Tap is stacked as far as like eight advances
is
concerned.
And Becker from Third Impact, I believe it was. Yeah, Becker, former coach, Third Impact. There's a lot there right now. And so they are the team, I'd say, that would carry on the torch. You know, I don't really see this being much of an upset. And the only people that could would be Timbermen, who themselves is a team. I mean, I'm slightly impressed with the comeback, I'll be honest. They got their punishment delivered to them, took it on the chin. I say their roster wouldn't be as good if they, an alternate timeline, a left never gets in trouble, then this Timbermen roster isn't nearly as good as it is now, because a left got in trouble and then they brought in Kalix, right? So I think their fragging power went up immensely by not having a left on that roster.
Right.
But that alternate universe aside, where they kept their original lineup for the season, I think between One Tap and Timmer, and there's a lot of prior premier XP. But I think Kojo's going to try to battle really hard for it. I think, I don't know if he feels any sort of way about how Silas and Sutter went on to go make premier without him. I know everyone's proud of their teammates when they do it, but I think Kojo really wants his turn.
That makes sense.
Yeah, he left that that Valkyrie. Yeah, he left that Valkyrie roster and went to come to Davenport and made a thing with Davenport and went to make Premier with Davenport. So I think this is the clearest shot that they've had to date of that. If they don't make it this time, I'm not super worried about it either with all the players that are coming into the Davenport program and the way that Koi sort of runs things. I definitely think if they don't make it this time, they will next time.
Yeah,
this is a comfortable third place to be for what they have, I think.
They
definitely
have a great program over there, from at least from my perspective, not being involved, but from a third party. Yeah, Koi.
They have a decent shot. They have a decent shot, depending on who they draw to make it if they make relegation.
Yeah. And honestly, yeah, that's a good segue. Before we get right into that, we're one step prior. Victorum versus Detonate in the fifth place decider match. Walk me through your thoughts on that one.
This one was really interesting because of all the teams that I thought would be left and could do something with it, Victorum is not someone that's been super high on my list, but they also haven't always had Jam, I don't think. I think,
yes, that was recent.
I think it was Mega that went out for Jam. I think this roster got way better with Jam.
Oh, I lied. It was June. So his first official was a few weeks ago, maybe 3-4 weeks ago from what I'm seeing here.
Okay, right. That makes sense. So honestly, Jam's addition to this roster completely changes the outcome of this roster. I think the players are just good enough as they are for Jam to come in and make this roster a whole lot better.
Yeah.
I do not think they take Detonate. And the reason this is one of those teams where I think Detonate has a high skill ceiling. I don't see a lot of consistency in their floor a whole lot of the time, but it's because of the fact that they've had to make changes, bring in an arcade, etc. They brought in Viathan a little late too, if I remember right. J-Dub and Zen are still good players. Arcade's still a good player. I vouch Nox as an IGL. J-Dub's still a good player. These are definitely players that have a lot more firepower, I'd say, as opposed to Victorum. But Victorum plays a pretty decent style, I'd say. I think, let's see if Detonate's map pulls better. I'd say yeah, it's gonna be skill ceiling versus skill ceiling, and I think Detonate just has way more firepower than them.
Okay. Well, I am going to only disagree with you for my boy Soul Goat. Max is former Rush B alumni, so I gotta shout him out. So purely biased pick here, I'm going with Victorum for that one.
Yeah, I'll definitely see Soul Goat in the next wingman match against J-Dubs and Zen. I'm sure he wins that.
Yeah,
10 out of 10 times. Yes, absolutely.
You know, actually, looking at this, I think I might have misspoke, and it looks like Jam has been with them for pretty much the entirety of the season.
It seems like a lot. Yeah, it seems like he's been around for a minute.
Yeah, it looks like he's been there since the 23rd of May, so looks like he's been there.
He definitely shines in this roster, I'll say that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always nice to see the players kind of, like you said with Kojo, kind of pay their dues and kind of get something out of it, you know, just because it's so easy to not get anything out of this advanced kind of pathway. You know, a lot of players come through this and they don't really get anything out of it, and they leave and they feel like it was kind of a waste, you know. So it's nice to see players kind of get something out of it at least. And I know Jam, for at least I thought for a while, he had he was looking for a team, right? So or am I misunderstanding that?
I think he was with T for a while.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it's just nice to see, you know, talented.
There wasn't a lot of space in Premier right now.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, you gave him praises yourself, so it's always nice to see when players who are recognized kind of get back into the into the cycle of things, just because, like you said, there's not a lot of spaces. So it sounds.
Yeah, he absolutely redefines this team. I'll say that.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Well, good for him. So it sounds like you're siding with Detonate in that regard, then, to take that one.
Absolutely. It would be Detonate's loss, not Victorum's win. I think Detonate has to do something seriously wrong in this BO3.
Okay, I gotcha. So kind of completing that conversation, moving to relegation, because you've kind of already, not already, you did confirm.
It's like we pre-gamed it.
Yeah, right. you kind of already confirmed the one tap first place, which honestly, on paper, it's really hard to disagree with what you're saying, just based on the fact that that lineup is stacked. Like one tap on paper should come in as at least considerable favorites, you know, to hit that first place. So kind of moving away from the playoffs and looking at the relegation, we have, as far as ECL teams are concerned, we have Team One, we have Bad News Bears, we have Unjustified and Axolotls. And then based on the conversation that we've walked through in this episode, representing Advanced, we have Timberman, Davenport, Northern Forces, and Victorum. And these eight teams will be competing in the relegation, with four of them going to Challenger League, so ECL Season 42. And then obviously the other four going back to Advanced. So obviously we don't know how seeding is going to go. You know, that's like a week or so away. But just kind of walk.
Like you can definitely say off the bat whose spots are up for grabs. I don't think Team One's spot is really up for grabs. The thing
you
about
think they're
these,
a comfortably safe pick to just kind of skip
they're,
right
they're,
through.
They're comfortable. They're definitely comfortable. Okay. I'd say Team One's comfortable. I'd say Bad News Bears is the second most comfortable, and it sort of takes that tone all the way down.
Yeah.
For who's left. Axolotls didn't leave a lot of impact on me when I watched them play. I like some of their players. I'll always like Consti. I'll always like Brad Tender's a good player. I don't know much about Elk, and I think I remember Polo from the past. But I would say that Bad News Bears could mess this up. I don't know about Sheik Zula as the IGL in this roster at this time. I wasn't impressed with a lot of the ways they played as a team when they came back from Europe and played a bunch of people, but that's relative to the people that they lost to. They lost to B-Hop, they beat Axolotls. Mythic is actually a decent team right now. I don't think losing to them is a big issue. And then the new version of Evil Geniuses, which is the XRBG guys, those guys have been in playoffs like perennially. It's been a minute since they haven't been, right? And then Strife was a good team that also made into playoffs up until this last minute, and they beat MIBR. So I think compared to a bunch of other people, they've been really good in the company they keep. I think that they keep their spot. I think very comfortably they keep their spot. I do expect, or at least want, some form of roster change out of this. And I'm probably going to catch flack for saying Sheik Zula. I don't think they replaced Sheik Zula. I just wasn't impressed with the way that they
specifically
went about
this iteration
and this iteration of it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's fair.
I wouldn't pick anyone else over him to have it, let's put it that way, but I don't think he drove the car very well this time around, which is fine. You missed one out of 11 and he kept the other 10. I can't be mad with how he's done.
I think that's a fair assessment. B&B iterations. You're not being harsh, yeah. I don't think, when you say that. I mean,
no.
He's still shooting like 90%, so
yeah.
It's still unreal.
Yeah, it's okay if you miss one.
Look at all of these, look at all of the top tier shuffles that happened with all these great minds and all these great players that, you know, like mm-hmm. were shooting 10 for 10, and went, you know, like, you know, not to, you know, like Vitality, for example, you know, not shooting.
Yep.
Yeah, the car's not really steering so well over there either. So that's a good example of like a great mind, like Zonic over there, you know, etc. So it sounds like you think Team One and BNB are like locks to make it in right now, barring now, unless
Team
somehow
One is
they...
a lock. BNB is something I want to lock, but I'm not confident enough in lock, because the thing is I don't know who they
what
draw
version?
let's say One Tap loses and then it's BNB versus One Tap. I think there's like a 2/3 BNB, 1/3 One Tap, that series goes a particular way.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
We can't
really lock that first.
Yeah, I mean, we're so far away from that, obviously. So,
right.
So
and
just
then
stack
as you,
ranking.
As you move across the relegation bracket, right, it's the advanced teams against the premier teams as you move it all the way down. But then as you move up, you face other premier teams. So it's like it's BNB, and then let's say it's BNB and Team One. I don't think that it would draw that way, but if it does happen to draw that way, is that a series that becomes an issue for them? They've been on different conferences. Exactly. So that's, you can see how that can bear out in a different way.
And I think it'll be interesting with the double Elim bracket. So it'll give a lot of opportunity for variability in case like upsets happen and things like that. So just stack ranking these teams. It sounds like you have one pretty locked in as your like de facto best team. So between like BNB, Unjustified, Axolotls, Timbermen, Davenport, Northern Forces, Victorum, like who do you put 2, 3, 4 as like, you know, not really considering matchups because obviously we can't predict that, but just like purely stack ranking, like if you ran the simulation.
Are we assuming that 1TAP wins advanced?
Yes, we're assuming that 1TAP goes first, so and then the assuming, four are, the, are those
if
other
If we're assuming 1TAP wins advanced. So 1TAP wins advanced. Team 1, very comfortable. Yep. Bad News Bears, very comfortable. Timbermen, very comfortable.
Okay.
Who would I put after that? The thing is after this, these are the teams that have skill ceilings and no floorboards. So these are the sort of the issues.
Right.
And Northern Forces, I'm kind of interested in. Like I could see Northern Forces beating Unjustified, for example. Like I don't put Unjustified super high on this list. I think Unjustified's good to beat Victorum, so I guess that would put Victorum towards the bottom for me.
Okay.
I'm very interested in what Headshooter's been doing with Northern Forces, or interested to learn at least. I kind of want to talk to him now about what he's been doing with it, because I kind of wanted to know who the coach of Northern Forces was right now. I went and did some research. We were watching the game. He used to coach the Pro 100 teams in 2019 that had Yekindar on them, so another nice EU coach coming over to say hi to everyone. I always appreciate that. He was former coach of Kinship too, and I think that Sluggies looked pretty decent in this roster. I think a lot of things have been going really well for this Northern Forces roster. I think they found consistency where a lot of their peers didn't. The Early Birds, the Limitless, there's a lot of teams that were supposed to come around and be very solid, and I think Northern Forces ended up taking that spot. So I put them pretty comfortable. I think that they'd be Unjustified, maybe.
Okay.
Who else did we have?
So if you're considering Victorum and Unjustified, like de facto won't make it as like a top four.
I don't think Victorum and Unjustified make it.
As well as Axolotls, that leaves you with Northern Forces or Davenport as like the fourth team, because you've already confirmed one BNB and Timbermen. So
if it had to be between Northern Forces and Davenport, I'd have to see them play. I think that Davenport would take it over Northern Forces, but I think that would be a really, really good series, and that's a coin flip off of just me having favoritism towards Koi and Kojo, right, as opposed to the people on Northern Forces.
Okay.
There's definitely nothing analytic about me saying that, for sure. Right.
To give you some leeway, what we can do is, you know, for the sake of this recording for everyone listening, you've confirmed like you are expecting BNB and one to make it back. Yes. Anticipate Timbermen to like qualify, and then a toss up between,
I think, very comfortably they take a slot,
and then that fourth spot is probably just up in the air, honestly, and you know, there's so many variables.
Yeah, that could be a good battle. Mm-hmm.
There's so many variables. We're talking matchups, and you know, we haven't even confirmed all of the teams that are here yet. There's still advanced playoffs to still, you know, confirm.
We haven't seen, I don't have that finished out.
Exactly. So there's a lot of Counter-Strike to be played, but of course this is purely speculation. So we've kind of walked through the game that happened tonight. We walked through the games that are going to be coming up soon. We talked about relegation. Regarding any kind of players you haven't shouted out, any moments that were kind of important, any overarching thoughts as far as like the season is concerned. Do you have anything regarding that? I know you've been dropping some good nuggets throughout
snakes,
the season. So
snakes and early birds staying together is really nice. I like that. I don't know who else staying together and who else changing players. I want to see X13 do better. I kind of wish that they were in the position that we're talking about Victorum being in. Okay. I think that was sort of an expectation. I think early birds also could have fallen into that expectation. Same for Snakeston. It's just there's only so many chairs when we play this game. Take Flight, I was not surprised that they ended where they did, and I was kind of surprised that other people were surprised, if that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I don't think this roster didn't end up falling apart, so it's easy to say in hindsight, but I didn't really think that this team was going to push forward to the sorts of positions that we're talking about right now. I didn't necessarily like a lot of their style, I'd say is a cleaner way to put it. I think they played a lot of the a lot of the linear maps and then nuke, right? So pretty much most of the maps that they were good on were maps where you can mid-round sort of in one direction, like a Mirage, where taking mid brings you pretty close to the A and B bomb site and you shoot people in the face. Same with an Ancient. Let's say a Vertigo. I kind of trying to see if they played Dust 2, because I thought they did, but it doesn't look like it. No, they didn't. Huh. Yeah, I think Victorum taking that series was a blow to them.
Really,
I think them losing to Northern Forces was where their team play got sort of found out a bit. I thought when I was watching the Vertigo match a lot that it was just night and day how people were playing, I suppose. Okay. So I thought Take Flight was really outclassed by Northern Forces in their series. And, you know, it's a lot easier when it's a series of BO1s.
Right.
And that's one of the things I liked about Premier changing from MDLs. First thing they did is made everything BO3.
Yep. Adding that slight tweak, it forces teams to prove the depth to themselves, which I think is what we need, especially in NACS, because right now we're really hurting for talent. So it's not enough just to be skilled anymore. You really got to know the game.
I think we're hurting for team play. I think people need to build things that are consistent, and that means improving things in your round that are boring. So instead of spending 20 minutes going over what sort of mid to late round 2v2 you got into, that'll happen one out of the next 600 times you're in a similar situation. You know, what if I threw this one piece of utility I had left instead of this one? I think people need to focus a lot on the openings of their rounds. I think people need to focus a lot on the team play elements of the game. How efficient am I with my utility while still being effective and lethal in taking space? Do I trap and kill people when I take that space? How much time do I have left on a clock when I take a certain amount of decisions? How much time do I have left over for a backup plan? How simple is the plan that I'm actually making? Am I overcomplicating it? Am I calling strats off spawn? Like, there's a lot of elements into this, I'd say, that aren't talked about very much between people, and there's not enough people left to teach those skills on to like a next generation of NACS. There is not really a prior generation that shares that knowledge.
And I think
it's pretty much Sheik Zula. Yeah. It's Sheik Zula. It's only Sheik.
You hit the nail on the head there. We do not have a lot of people passing the torch. But I think talking about the declining status of our scene is something for another day. So
I don't think it's a decline. I think it's a change of the guard, but half the ceremony is missing. They'll figure it out. You just have to say that it takes a certain amount of time, like whatever amount of time you were going to give NACS as a project, 1.5 multiplier on that.
That's honestly a great way to put it. And that's something you're seeing like in the upper echelons of higher tier CS now, because of the fact that
those players are getting older.
Yep. And like you said, that celebration passing of the guard, it didn't happen earlier. And now we're seeing the clunks and the kinks that are happening right now because of that. So it's very interesting how what you're saying is so cyclical, because if we were having this conversation a year or so ago, a year and a half ago, that would be like you could look back and be like, wow, he was right. So it's like, hopefully we don't.
The only thing that I'd say for sure is I put out a tweet, I don't remember how long ago, where it was the amount of players in season 34 in ESEA Open as opposed to this past season, because it's two calendar years separated from each other within the same general like calendar season, so to speak, like spring to spring kind of thing, or fall to fall kind of thing. And if you looked, I think that our total player count as opposed to people at the very bottom of our scene, I think it was down like 30% or something.
Wow.
Across 2 years. And so we expected a lot of people to come back after the pandemic off the back of certain things. And I think that did not happen. I think that people left and stayed gone. So I'm not like quite sure, outside of the generation that's fighting Advanced right now, I'm not sure who comes beyond that. Like, I'm not sure who's the next wave after that. It feels like this is the last real wave of NACS that should be making an appearance.
Interesting. Well, that is certainly some food for thought. That was a hefty.
Didn't mean to ruin your day.
No, but not at all. When I asked for final thoughts, you delivered. So
that's very final. I feel like that.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't get any more final than that. Talk about final. So, yeah, honestly, guys, we're running, I don't know, 30, 35, 40 minutes. I don't know.
My voice is too high-pitched to run this any longer.
This has been a great conversation. Honestly, these are the kind of conversations I think that we need to celebrate and champion more at the lower levels, because that way, you know, we can rebuild the foundation like we're talking about. So honestly, Taylor, like, I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on. You know, go ahead and, you know, let everybody know once more where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at Taylor Hayes FPS. Currently, I'm the coach of Limitless Esports. You can follow us and follow our progress as we move about. If you see any of the BNB guys, give them a shout. I like them a lot. If you see Silas and anything that he's doing with B-Hop right now, give him a shout. I like him a lot. I like all the Detonate guys right now. If you see Davenport University, I think what they're doing with the collegiate program is very good. NACS has a lot of really interesting things going on right now. It's just that it doesn't matter to the scene writ large besides us. So if you like the things that are going on around you in your local area, go support sort of the things that are happening in advance, etc. There's a lot of interesting things that do happen. You just have to think and look a little bit to find the right way to say it. There's a lot that's going on, so... I'd encourage you to support everything that's happening in our local scene. Everyone that's coming on to the HLTV streams, etc. It shouldn't be more gamblers than it should be us.
Right. That's very fair. Good points. Good points. And great shout outs. And honestly, way to focus on like the positives. Absolutely. And that's hopefully all of it. And not hopefully, I don't say it in a... Yeah.
We'll have hopium.
Yeah. Hopefully it all pans out, but I say it in a sense of I believe it will, because we got some good young, bright minds kind of pushing forward the next generation. But let's not ramble too much further, because this is the outro. So that's Taylor. We already told you where to find him, Taylor Hayes FPS on Twitter. And as always, you can find this podcast at Crouch Peak. And of course, you can find me, Lucas, at Dust too. So go ahead and follow us on our socials. And if nothing else, that sounds like the end of this episode. So thanks as always to everyone who was listening, and thanks for sticking with me. And see you in the next episode. Thanks so much, guys.
Bye, guys.
Press control to crouch.
The Crouch Peak Podcast.